What was that?
Nice sip of water before we get started here.
Oh, okay.
Sorry, I drank that a little fast. Well, Popstorian listeners, you found us once again. It's another Popstorian minisode with Ben.
And Chris.
And Chris, I think you have a discussion question for the floor.
So I do. So, as our listeners probably well know by now, that you have a very deep love of puppetry and performing with puppets.
Mm-hmm.
So something I've noticed talking with you and reading some other things about like Jim Henson and Gerry Anderson and some other substantial members of the puppet community.
Yeah.
That a major theme for a lot of these guys is that they don't want puppetry looked at merely as a child's entertainment, that they want it also for adult entertainment, for all audiences, all ages.
Yeah.
Why is that such a main focus for puppeteers? Why is that something that they really want to show off on their work, that it's not just for kids?
Well, I can't speak for the great masters like Gerry Anderson and Jim Henson, but I do think puppeteers in general just want to be treated like they're, well, there's kind of this, there's a lot of stigma surrounding puppetry where people might cast it into a category with children's birthday party, clowning, or juggling, and don't really take it seriously as an art form in the way that mm-hmm. you do with dance or acting or theater or any art form, really. Puppetry is kind right. of one of the, I don't know, but it's put off to one side by kind of the serious art community. And I think puppeteers want to show that it's really a powerful medium and it can do a lot. It's not just for one, it's not limited to one audience. It's kind of like if you had, well, let's use the example of Westerns. If everybody was saying, oh, well, Westerns are just, you know, for kids. That's a Saturday morning thing. And we don't mm-hmm. show Westerns for, we don't make Westerns for adults. That's all poppycock and hooey. If you were really interested in Westerns, you'd be like, well, wait a minute. Like, you can do a lot more with the Western than just tell stories for kids. Like, you can tell great stories for kids. All but right. also, you can tell serious stories for grown-ups, and that leads to things like Cormac McCarthy or Lonesome yeah. Dove, Larry McMurtry. So it's that kind of thing, I think, that desire to explore the boundaries and do something cool. And also the recognition that it hasn't been done a lot.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of unexplored territory. Henson in particular had a lot to say about bringing in different types of puppetry. He actually had a miniseries called The World of Puppetry where he brought in and interviewed puppeteers from all over the world who worked in different styles and techniques. And he brought in a shadow puppeteer from Australia and a famous rod puppetry figure from Russia, and people from all over the world. So there's all different kinds of techniques and cultural styles.
That I've heard you talk about before is that puppetry is from all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
Why would it be kind of shoved off to the side as unimportant if it's so culturally integrated in so many cultures?
Well, I think there's a level of ethnocentricity where we kind of think of our culture as the culture, American mm-hmm. culture. And American culture, yeah. for whatever reason, and I can't, I'm not enough of a historian to really tell you why, but American culture in general is kind of put puppetry to one side and said, oh, that's for kids.
Right.
And I'm not exactly sure why that is. It's kind of the same thing with comics. or sequential art, to be a bit more broad, that kind of storytelling. It isn't really
Right.
till, I mean, Harvey Kurtzman was doing it some, but it wasn't really till, till Will Eisner and his graphic novels that people began to recognize, and Art Spiegelman with Mouse, that people began to realize, oh, it's not just this one thing. Part of it, too, is that there's a limited capacity that people have for pop culture. You couldn't possibly keep up with everything that's going on in streaming. Maybe now you could with coronavirus limiting the output of TV studios, but there was, I mean, just today I was seeing a trailer for a new Amazon show that I didn't know anything about. So there's so much coming out that you can't keep up with it all.
Yeah.
So people put things in boxes to be more organized and to feel comfortable with different things. And so, you know, puppets, we'll put that in the Muppet box.
That's another thing that we have talked about when discussing, was it the Happy Time Murders?
Mm-hmm.
When that film came out, the puppets for that, and of course puppets for the Muppets and Sesame Street, they all have a very similar look.
Right. Yeah.
And that Jim Henson has such a strong influence in the look of puppets, and as well as, I guess, the performance of puppets.
Yeah, and the Jim Henson Company was very involved in making Happy Time Murders, and of course they had the tagline, all street, no sesame, which they, I think the Children's Television Workshop sued them over, and it was tossed out of court. But the controversy couldn't save the movie. It wasn't actually a very good movie, unfortunately. I think it suffered from a lot of development setbacks.
Definitely not a kid's movie.
Definitely not a kid's movie. And it is interesting. This is something that I've talked about in our video that you can see on the YouTube channel as well. That things do tend to run in extremes like that, where there's shows for kids and then there's shows that are parodies of that are very explicit. Things like Happy Time Murders and Team America from a few years back, or Meet the Feebles, which was one of Peter Jackson's early movies, which is a Muppets style parody.
I hadn't heard about that one.
It's very much X-rated. So there's kind of that extreme of, oh, we're going to do extremely adult things or extreme kid things, but not explore any of the broader audiences in between.
Yeah. And is that, I'm not sure the question I'm really trying to get at as far as that, why does that happen? Why is it just that puppeteers are so focused on making it not a kid's movie that they kind of overshoot their audience?
I think that definitely happens sometimes. I think some people who are interested in puppetry are interested in it because it's visuals. It's a very visual medium, and they're not as much focused on storytelling. So you see a lot of, there's a lot of brilliant puppet films, like even to some extent, The Dark Crystal is a beautiful movie, but the story can sometimes suffer from all the focus on the art and the visuals, that it takes focus away from the story. And of course, the famous saying, story is king, which is very much part of Pixar's mantra.
Yeah.
If you don't have a good story, then you don't have anything. So a lot of people who are drawn to not just puppetry, but animation in general, tend to be fixated on visual things. And that doesn't always lead to the most exciting visuals don't always lead to the most exciting stories. So it takes a combination approach of having people who are good at storytelling and good at visuals. And I think that's why Jim Henson's stuff has had such a strong legacy, because he was a strong storyteller, and oh, by the way, he happened to use puppets, and oh, by the way, he happened to use film and TV. Those were just the tools, but if he had been a painter, or if he made radio plays, he still would have been a great storyteller, I think. And the same with the guys at Pixar. If they tried a different method for telling their stories, it wouldn't be any different, because that's just what they do.
Right. So
that needs to be the focus, is telling good stories. It doesn't really matter what audience you pick. You can pick any audience.
Mm-hmm.
If you tell a great story, then that will that'll overcome barriers.
So one more question. I could talk about this all night,
so don't worry.
Have you seen any previews or any rumblings about a film featuring puppetry that you are specifically very interested in coming up soon?
Coming up.
After all this COVID thing is done, that probably will be released.
After COVID is done.
I guess they could dream it too, but
there's a web like a series.
Major production.
Oh, a major production?
Web series can be a major production.
It depends. So there's a few things I'm excited about. One is a film, a short film actually, it had a Henson grant called Cosmic Fling. That's a marionette film actually. But it's a love story about a garbage man who is cleaning up the garbage on an asteroid. And there's another asteroid that floats past with an astronaut on it, and they fall in love.
Mm-hmm.
That film, I don't think, is available anywhere. So I'm hoping that will come out soon on a streaming platform where it's more widely available. But you can look it up on YouTube and see the trailer. They have a website with all their different awards. They've been playing at a lot of different film festivals before the pandemic.
Okay.
There's a film or a web series called Nebula 75 that was made by a team that recreated some episodes of Thunderbirds, and they took some original recordings and created some of the same, or recreated rather, the puppets and the models and the sets. And while they were in lockdown, they created a series called Nebula 75. Just with things they had around the house and a few new things that they put together and wrote some scripts and told a story. And it's a pretty fun web series. So I'm excited to see where that goes, if they keep developing that. Of course, Anderson Entertainment, Jerry Anderson's legacy company, is producing a new series called Firestorm. That's been in development for a couple years now, since they released a pilot that you can see on YouTube for free. That should be coming pretty soon to a major platform. I can't make any promises, but it's pretty exciting what's going on there as well. And of course, season 2 of The Mandalorian. I'm looking forward to seeing some more great puppetry in that.
That's true. That does they incorporated puppetry and a lot of practical effects for that show.
Yeah, and there's new Muppet stuff. There's a new short film in production. I've heard rumors and rumblings of features, and I've been working on a feature myself. But it's a long, slow process with a lot of work. So
yeah,
there's a lot of exciting stuff going on right now. I think, in a certain way, the pandemic has helped people interested in this field, because it's less, it's more safe, because you have a smaller crew and you can implement safety practices more easily when you're working with puppets.
That's interesting that you would say that, since my limited experience seems to puppeteers being in very close proximity to one another as they work the characters.
That is true. That is true that puppeteers can be very close to each other, but you don't need as large of a, it's not like you need a 200 people to be all in the same room at the same time.
Gotcha. So. Yeah.
as long as those few puppeteers. I know that there have been some puppet films in production since the pandemic started, so those people have been wearing face masks and shields and taking all the necessary precautions.
Yeah.
And getting tested and not coming to work if you're sick and all those things.
Yeah.
So it's an exciting time. It's a scary time, of course. But there's a lot to look forward to in the puppetry world. Thanks for asking, Chris.
Well, yeah. It's kind of up your alley, so I thought we'd have a very Ben-centric episode. But I have to get going. Thanks for talking with me.
Yeah. Thanks for listening to the Popstorian podcast.
Yeah, you can catch us on Twitter and Facebooks.
Be sure Instagram. To subscribe.
Tell a friend.
And we will talk to you again next week.
Bye.
Say goodnight, Chris.
Night, Chris.
It's an oldie but a goodie.
That's a very oldie.
George Burns, Gracie Allen.
Indeed.